You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth.
Greetings, brothers, sisters, and other kinds of being. How are you doing today? It's kind of quite a pleasant day here in northern Scotland for a change. It's been really dreadful weather, and it seems to have been dreadful weather all over the world, particularly in the Americas. And I really hope that your drought situation improves very soon. So. Tonight, I was wandering around this morning thinking, what shall I talk about? All sorts of things. And, so I sat and did a little meditation and asked for inspiration. And a few minutes later, I got a call from Charles Two Dog. I was very pleased to hear from Charles again. So here we are. And, I have with me, on the Skype line, Charles Two Dog from Kentucky. Now, I can't remember if I got your tribe name right. Is it Oyase?
I'm descended from is Salagi. It's northeast. It's the eastern band of the Cherokee people. That is my descendancy.
Right.
But here in Kentucky, we are the indigenous nation that is here. We're working on state, but which that's like pulling hen's teeth. But anyway, my ancestry goes to Mary M. Brown, Road Number 2906, Eastern Band, North Carolina.
Right. Didn't quite understand what that means, though.
I am Salagi. Salagi means Cherokee.
Salagi. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much for clarifying that, Charles. So, let me just spin my chair around. Okay, that's better. We are in the midst of some major publicity campaigns by the dark side trying to disarm everybody, you know, the MK Ultra and then the guy shooting the cinema and stuff. So we're not going to be talking about that, are we? We're going to be talking about some events that are true and closer to our hearts, particularly your hearts. And so here's the spotlight and here's the soapbox. And Charles Two Dog, welcome.
Aho.
Aho.
One of the already dead and told the other officer that shot him that if he moves, shoot him again.
So it's, you know, we've had a Navajo Apache, I believe her name is Patty Dawson. She got beat up by a pregnant woman and another carload of people. And she's scared to death. Of course, she has an attorney now. Indigenous people are getting hurt all the time over here.
It's a theme.
Doing my part to try to stop this.
It's a theme. I suppose in a way that you know, indigenous people are from my experience, very open-hearted and very trusting.
Well, one of the things about our culture, basically, is that when Indian people quit giving over here, the world is done.
Yeah.
They're a very giving people. We are.
Mm.
And the thing about it is that we have been done so wrong for 600 years that the trust is slipping.
Yeah, I can imagine. And you know, it takes a great deal of open heart to even endure it for that long.
Well, one of the things I have just turned 53 years old in May this year.
Well done.
And this is what I've been speaking since I was 4 years old. The if you look at the Indian Wars in the 1800s with Goyokli and the Chiricahua, and Makpialuta with the Lakota, and all this, Tecumseh. The thing about it is we did not unite as a race of people in the first place. We fought, you know, we fought alone. I mean, the Cheyenne and the Lakota, and the Minneconju, they did good with Custer, but that we'll go a little further than that.
Yeah.
The thing that I have been speaking on since I was 4 years old is that if we remember the Indian Wars and how bad that turned out, it's time to unite here as a race of people and stand up for ourselves.
Yes.
And all the backbiting and the petty differences, we need to put it aside.
Absolutely. We can't afford... not in a financial sense, but in an emotional sense, to be divided, because we know that that's their technique. Them, you know, the not the white race, but
what I have oppressive. Right now is there's a Tuscarora out of Canada. He comes and checks on me, you know. Every month, me and him have become blood brothers together. We've become quite brotherly.
Mm.
And, you know, the Tuscarora, if they need help, let me know and I'll see what I can do for them. I'm here for every indigenous nation between Mexico, United States, and Canada.
That's the whole Turtle Island.
The whole Turtle Island.
Yes.
I'm also talking to Moray people in New Zealand and trying to help them what I can do. The fact of the matter is you have, like, I hate to say it, but America, if you look at the world news like CNN, ABC, CBS, anything, they're supposed to cover the whole world when they have 500 nations inside this nation that they say nothing about.
Yeah.
Because they don't want the world to know that they are still oppressing our people.
And the oppression, I mean, it's staggering. It really is staggering when you actually learn about how many indigenous people have been killed over the period, makes Hitler look like a, well...
Well, see, Hitler...
Yeah, exactly.
If you look at Hitler and the Nazi Germany situation, he is the one that, I have to say this because it's... I'm going to cuss for a minute. He liked Andrew Jackson. There, I did it.
And, I was bracing for the seven words, but there you go. Well done.
No, sir. But that's the cuss word that I use, Andrew Jackson.
Andrew Jackson.
There we go. Mm-hmm. But see, this is the thing about Hitler. When the Hitler made the concentration camps with the Jewish people, mm-hmm. he got the inspiration from the American history book of the reservations.
Oh, wow.
And he said that we need to do to the Jews what the Americans did with their Indians.
Sobering.
It is a sobering thing. But if you look at what they did in 1942 with killing the Jews, and look at Wounded Knee, what's the difference?
Not much.
It's the same.
Yeah.
It's the same. Now, if you look here, if you want to go to third world countries, there's a third world. There's third world countries inside America. I can take you to South Dakota and put you on Pine Ridge Reservation, and you will see a third world country for sure.
Yeah, this is something you were talking about last time you were on the show about the abysmal conditions that.
It's appalling what they got over there.
Yeah.
You know, the life expectancy, last I heard from Mr. Russell Means, is, I think, 42 to 45 years old is the life expectancy on that reservation.
And this is not like something that was like for 5 years or for 3 years or however many years the Nazi concentration camps were going. This has been going for hundreds of years now?
Oh, hundreds of years. You're looking at, I think, the Indian Wars with the Lakota were over in the 1870s.
Mm.
This is 2012, and that's still what they call the poorest county in America. It's actually reservation.
Mm.
But see, this is the thing, and this is my spirituality thing of talking. We are connected to the earth.
Mm.
Because people say, well, why don't you leave? That's all we got left.
Mm.
I mean, we've been assimilated. We don't know who we are. Some of us don't know who we are. I've had people go, you know, I'm part Native, but I don't know what nation. It's because back in the day, we were told that don't tell who you are, don't speak your language, or you'll get shot.
God. Yes.
So we lost a lot of things through that matter.
Mm. I mean, it's heartbreaking to find. I mean, particularly, look, I'm a Euro, I'm a Brit, right? And you know, all that we were ever told about the Turtle Island Nations is, you know, what we see in cowboys and Indians, and, you know, we hear about various famous chiefs, Sitting Bull, and all these personality names. But actually, what the truth of what has been going on for hundreds of years, that's been completely suppressed and you know, very few people. I mean, certainly Americans aren't taught about it.
No,
not from the angle of really what happened. We get, you know, again, you got cowboys and Indian movies and maybe the odd dancings with wolves and things like that. But no real. I mean, it's really like no real fessing up to what has happened, and maybe we won't get that until the people who are behind it all are finally defeated.
See, what it is, you have Mr. Barack Obama. Now, I will say this. When he was running for the presidency of the United States, he's also adopted to the Crow Nation. But the deal about this man is that he said he knows about oppression. He knows everything. And as long as he is president, the Indian people will have a voice. He will always remember the Indian people. I'm waiting to see what he's doing.
4 years, nothing's happened yet, is it?
Mm-mm. No, sir. But see, the thing about it is, when we, as indigenous people, stop fighting each other, you know, I'm working with Mr. Frank Cornstalk also of Red Man March on Washington, and I don't know how that's going to go. Hopefully it's going to go peacefully, because that's what we mean. The only thing that we wish is that we also know that every treaty that was made with our people, every one of them's been broken, and it hasn't been done by us.
Yep. Yep. Every treaty. Now, with various other elders on Thomas's Buffalo Talk Show, we have talked about various treaties, and particularly the Treaty of 408 AD, which is an unbelievable time to imagine that there was a treaty and that there was contact with the Americas in those days. You know, we thought, we've always been told that it's, 1500, so, you know, what is it?
Let me explain something here.
Go for it. Charles.
By other native people, especially my brother that does Unification of the People Radio over here. I've done that with him. By the year 2000, this is what I understood. By the year 2000, all treaties were void by that. We hold no treaty with the United States by the year 2000 because America and the United States government thought we would not be here by the year 2000.
Ooh.
And we're still here.
Thankfully.
We haven't went nowhere. There's some nations, of course, that are not here anymore. You take the pilgrims when they come over here, and the first Thanksgiving, which I think we just showed up at. 50 years after the first Thanksgiving, one nation was completely annihilated because they were stealing with and they were taking without asking, caused the war. It's disrespectful to take without asking. The government is willing to pay so many millions of dollars for wrongfully taking of the Black Hills of Piasapa to the Lakota for wrongfully taking the Black Hills. But see, the Lakota will not take the money because the Black Hills are sacred to the people. That's like selling a mosque or a church. You can't do that.
Exactly. It's the spirit of the land. This is the thing. I really get this. Because of the relationship that I have with the land here in Scotland, it talks to me.
Sure.
I understand your relationship with the land is that there's a spirit. And we call these things, you know, the Westerners, or not the Westerners, the Europeans would have called them gods. But it's the energy, it's the spirit, the conscious spirit of the land that you're communicating with. It's not like a god that you worship, is it?
We have things here. The Earth Mother, as far as Makaina, it's a living, breathing thing. You know, you have trees upon the land that give humans and other four-leggeds and everything else breath. We give the breath back to the trees. Without the trees, we would suffocate.
Totally.
So, it's like a big, it's a circle of life. And what happens is, if there are no more wolves in this area, the circle is broken. If the water goes bad, the circle is broken. If you cannot drink it, you die.
Yes.
So everything on the Earth Mother, you know, everything has, there are spirits here. Basically, like, you know, you will call them ghosts. We call them like Wanazi or same thing. The spirits of our ancestors, it's the same thing. And, of course, we have spirits that roam everywhere. But see, this is the thing. Spirits handle things. People don't. Spirits handle everything. People do not. But every human, let's go this part, you know, black, white, yellow, red. Every human is a spirit inside a three-dimensional shell.
Yeah, the skin suit, as Thomas calls them.
Yeah, yeah, the skin suit that Thomas calls them. We all are spirits, and we're all responsible for what we do upon our Earth Mother. In other words, it's like, okay, America saying this land over here is worth $42,000. Well, I believe, like Teshuka Wicca once said, Crazy Horse, truthfully, the earth owns us. We do not own the land. The land owns us. Because when you die, you go back to your Earth Mother from where you come. And truthfully, nothing is owned by anybody. Even the ones that say, I own all this property. Well, when you die, do you still own it, or does it land on you?
Exactly. The land eats you back up again, doesn't it?
Sure. You go back to the Earth Mother from where you come.
Yeah.
And it's widely proven that you cannot own what you walk on. But you have not, you know, we here have a thing called, you know, because of America, we're the only race of people anywhere in the world, that has to have a card to prove who we are. When we already know who we are by listening to our elders. But it's an easy way for them to keep up with us. Some of us do not wish for the card because we don't wish to be cattle.
Exactly.
Owned by someone.
Exactly. It's like having a tag in your ear, isn't it?
It's exactly that. It's exactly that. And I've met some beautiful Indian people that their ancestors did hide from the United States Army that never came in. That don't have these cards. But it doesn't stop them from being who they are.
No.
And tradition is still held up. It's like me. This is what I do. With the women of all the nations, be it Chiricahua, Salagi, Shawan, Dasi, Lakota, it doesn't matter who. Or European, as far as that goes. I think of the women like this. They do the same that the Earth Mother does. They clothe you, feed you, give birth. They do everything. And without the women, there would be no Scotland. There'd be no Ireland. There'd be no England. There'd be no United States. There'd be no nobody.
That's right.
Because the women give the birth to the nations. Without the woman, there'd be no me. We all come from woman. So, as a man, I feel as a man, since they are the life givers to all the nations, it is up to me to bow to them. Because without them, I would not be here.
That's right.
But we have a lot of issues throughout the nations with alcoholism, drug addiction, suicide, gang-related. It's what they see on the TV. One, I'm not going to say who he is or where he comes from, but I did hear this from this one young gangbanger. He said, I beat up on my old lady because the United States says to do so, because we're defeated people and we're supposed to be like them. What?
Hey.
I believe in my heart that a nation, and I'm going to go with the old Cheyenne proverb here, a nation is never defeated until the hearts of their women lay upon the ground. And believe me, I'm not beat. Nobody has beat me yet. Now, I'll go back and let you understand a little bit about me. I was at a burial ground one time at 12 years old that we seen some very bad things. We were hollering to put the ancestors back. And the colleges, of course, swarmed on these ancestors like bees on honey. And there were four 18-year-olds that pretty much beat me to death. And if it wasn't for an elderly black man, I would not be here. I want to give thanks to him.
Hang on a second. What? Sorry. You said that very quickly. The when you're talking about the ancestors, these are skeletal remains.
Yes.
What we'd call.
Yes.
And they came back from Holland.
Well, what happened
was... Yeah, tell the story.
We were doing... there was a flood where we were living. And indigenous ancestors, what I call the ancestors, bones started washing up. Well, they called different archaeologists, which to me, they're nothing but grave robbers, from different colleges over here, just swarmed on them like, bees on honey. And we were pretty much trying to get them, we were hollering to put them back where they come from, because this is my thinking on this. Until your bones go back to the earth's mother completely, your journey is your journey is disturbed if they do this.
Yes, because I mean, even on a DNA level, there's DNA in your bones. That DNA is still connected to your spirit, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And
yes,
so, if people are messing about with your with the bones from various lifetimes, then your spirit is not allowed to be free to fully incarnate or become fully conscious, even on the higher levels, eh?
That's right. Basically, what I'm saying is, these are my grandfathers and my grandmothers, my aunties, my uncles, from way back, so it is up to me to make sure that they stay where they are, where we have put them in the day. In other words, if I go messing around in a, say, white man's cemetery, because I want to see what one grandmother is wearing and see if I can take a ring or whatever, okay? It would be a disgrace to them if I did this, and I would be underneath a jail, and I would not see light daylight. But they can come and put my ancestors on black market and make millions of dollars. But I'm not supposed to say anything. That's my grandfathers and grandmothers you're dealing with. So basically, four 18-year-olds when I was 12, they grabbed me from behind and pretty much beat the living dog out of me. And like I said, if it wasn't for an elderly black man, I would not be here. And I have right now, I got two serious nerve diseases because I have been fighting this all, you know, forever. So, like I said, I would, you know, I'm 53 years old. I can barely walk. But if it comes up in my area again, I'll do it again. Because that's my grandmothers and grandfathers that you're dealing with. That's my ancestors. If I messed with yours, you'd be angry at me. So what's the difference? There's a part of Kentucky right now, and I'm going to say this, that they have a hit on me right now.
Really?
Because I put the ancestors back in the cave where they come from. I stayed a year in court to do this. And they only gave them, the people that got in it, 3-year probation. We were allowed to put the ancestors back. But in this Pacific County over here, it's an organized drug running going right through the county, and you cannot stop it because the police department and some of the judges are doing cocaine in their chambers, so you can't stop it.
And they're all involved. Oh, my God. Wouldn't it be nice to expose that? Hey.
Well, I'm kind of doing just that.
Wow. Because, this is the whole, Charles, one of the big problems that, you know, humans as a whole have is that we have these beings who are running around making laws, legislating, they're the judges, they're the police, they're the doctors, and they're all completely corrupt.
Yes, they are.
They're completely out of honor. They're completely, and they force us to say, "Your Honor, sir." You know.
Well, let me explain something to you.
Go ahead.
When we put the ancestors back, there was a sheriff in this particular county running for re-election. And we just happened to go to the store at this time where this guy had a whole lot of people he was talking to. I told my wife to take my daughter on in the store. I want to hear what he's going to say. And I have to say it exactly. If you don't mind, I will say it exactly. It's no cuss words in this, but...
That's all right. Because we're on Revolution Radio, we have to be very careful, because goes out on FM radio. But, you're very, very polite and gentle and open-hearted man. So say what you need to say, you know.
I will say it this way. And he spoke about me. And he said, "Yes, I saw... Two Dog and the rest of his people, well, the rest of them red N-words, putting them red N-word bones back in the cave." So I proceeded to let him know that I'm watching him.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, we were forced to run off our land that we had. I got shot at, almost hit me in the head. And I was thinking, you know, it scared me because it could have been my daughter. If I hadn't dropped that wrench, I would not be here. They pretty much run me, my wife, and my child off my land. So, it's a big fight. In other words, we cannot be who we are. We have to bow down to what they say has to go, see? We cannot be who we are, can't pray in our way, we can't do, you know, some of us, when we do a prayer ceremony in the mornings, we get the cops called on us for devil worshiping when we're just praying.
God.
That's what happens sometimes. It happened to me, it happened to a Choctaw brother that I do know. So things are happening in America that... It's like this. It's like, no disrespect to the Romans, no disrespect to the Israelites. But America has become the Rome to us being the Israelites.
Well,
that's pretty much what's going on.
I'd say that it's still the Romans.
You see the Catholic Church,
exactly,
Jesuits, and all this. You know, some of my people were beat half to death in these boarding schools and other things like that because we accidentally spoke our language or whatever. See, and America still. Now, Canada has apologized for the residential schools over there, but America has yet to apologize for the boarding schools and the beatings and the sexual abuse of our people.
Yeah.
They have yet to apologize.
I mean, that is a very heartbreaking situation because it's probably still going on. It's certainly going on within the military families I've seen. You know, a lot of African Americans are in the military, and maybe even quite a lot of Red Nations as well.
I will tell you a very funny story. And this happened to me when I was 9 years old. My great-grandmother, my grandfather's mother, very traditional elder lady. She was born in 1867, and I got to sit with her in 1969 when I was 10 years old. She was on her deathbed, of course. She was 102. Couldn't see, but she knew exactly who I was, called me by name, told me to sit down with her. But the first word she used was Osio, which is hello in Cherokee. And I told her, I said, Grandmother, we're not supposed to talk like that. That's what I was told by my grandmothers and other people because we're afraid, right? And she looked at me and she said, I'm 102. What are they going to do, shoot me?
Bless her heart.
So I thought for a 102-year-old elderly Salagi woman, that was funny.
Yeah. Wow.
But my grandfather, he's the one taught me these ways. And it doesn't matter if you're Scottish, if you're Irish, if you're English, Indian, African, whatever you may be, black, white, yellow, red, we're all related. Matakawasiowesson, we're all related. And we all come from one race, and it's the human race, and we're all in the same boat.
Absolutely. Now, you said something, the second word is Oyasin, is that right?
Yeah.
I heard Tolek say this the other day. What's the can you say the first word very slowly? It's my British ears.
Matakawasi.
Matakawasi.
Oyasin.
Oyasin. Matakawasi or Yesin?
Means we're all related.
We're all related. Or we're all one, as the modern parlance says. But yes, we're all brothers,
we're
sisters,
all
and
from
cousins.
The human race.
Yeah.
We're all from the human race. It doesn't matter what race, creed, or color you are a human. And for one human to do another human this way, since we're all grandfathers. We're all Wakantanka children. We're all the Great Mystery's children. We're all the Creator's children. The Creator does not want one of his children of any race wiped out.
Exactly. And that includes the Europeans who are the perpetrators and all the different races that have come and all the people who are warring against each other. We all have to remember that we are all one, and that is the hardest part.
The ones that are warring with each other. This is what I say for this. You have the Israelites, you know, right now that fight the Palestinians, and they keep taking land and land and land. They don't want to. It's not right to fight these people. you know, the Creator don't want the human race to fight, no matter who you are. We are all children of one God, one Creator. So why fight with your brothers and sisters when there's no reason? Oh, it has oil over there. Okay, big deal.
That's right. You make a treaty.
It doesn't matter in the end.
Yeah. It's their land, so why not offer to pay for it?
Well, let's look at it. Look at it this way.
Only go.
America itself is dying from the inside because you have this greed, you have this this sickness of alcohol, drugs, sex addiction, all kinds of things. And it's going to come to a day when the great wide web will not be here as far as computers or... We're going to have to go back to the old way to even survive.
Yeah.
Now, Crazy Horse said this, the children of the white man will come to learn what their ancestors would not. And that's happening now. It's happening with me. Some of the white people I know are coming to ask me. And I tell them, you know, you need to go to a higher individual than myself. But I'll help you what I can. We can't turn our backs on anybody. I can't. No matter what has happened to me, I cannot. I have no animosity, no hate towards anyone. But I do know that if the Creator, if the Master of Life gives you breath every day, then every second you walk on Makaina is a constant prayer and a constant talk with Him.
Yep. Every moment is a conversation.
Do what?
Every moment is a conversation with spirit, as I would say.
Yeah. Yes, if the Master of Life gives you breath every second, then every step you take is a constant prayer, a constant talk with the Master.
Yeah.
It is solid. But see, this is the thing. We are all, you know, with the people in Scotland, They are acknowledged in their ways of Scottish people. And the thing about the Scots, because I speak to one every once in a while that is Cherokee and Scottish over here.
Oh, yes.
Due to the clan system of the Scottish people, they married a lot of indigenous people when they come over here because of the clan system.
Hmm.
We understood each other.
Yes. And the Scots are also an oppressed people.
Exactly.
By the crown. It's really sad because the Scots have been kind of brainwashed into becoming the bully boys for the crown.
Well, see, this is the thing. I'll say this. During that situation with William Wallace and the crown in Scotland, they started with the Scots and ended up perfecting it here.
Yeah, sadly.
So I'm very open, very highly open to the Scottish people because of the clan system and because of what has happened with the crown and Scotland and the crown and us. We know each other. And with the music of the Scottish people with the drum. Okay?
Yep, we do like a drum. We do like a drum up here.
But see, the drum here represents the Earth Mother. And the heart and the beat you hear from it is the heartbeat of the people. So, yeah, I've talked to Scottish people that come over here. Clan of Drummond has been over here, and I've spoke to them. So it's the power of the drum also. You are brave people in Scotland. I have to give you that. And I honor you. I respect you highly for your, you know, the Scottish people are still here. And it's a major force.
Yeah. And like you said, there are very strong parallels. The use of Gaelic, for instance, the Scottish language was all but wiped out, but now it's coming back, and there is even a BBC station that broadcasts in Gaelic, which is a wonderful thing.
That's beautiful.
It's so lovely to hear. And what's interesting, you know, Elder Gerald Whitehorse Standing has been speaking many times about the language of the Cree being very similar to ancient Hebrew.
Yes, it is.
And I was brought up, I'm half Jewish, and I was brought up, so I learned a bit of Hebrew, and the sound of it is quite unique. And when I listen to Radio Scotland and hear them speaking Gaelic, I can't understand what they were saying, but the sound is familiar.
So unique and so powerful.
Yes.
You take me. My Salagi name is Gwili Talei. That is my name.
And that means two dogs? Or
mm-hmm. Two dog.
Two dog.
Gwili Talei.
Gwili
Talei. I speak a lot of Lakota in my house. So in the Lakota way, my name would be Shunka Numpa. Dog two.
Dog two.
Which
right.
is reversed. Uh-huh. And in English, it's two dog.
Mm-hmm.
In my house, I pick up, because I wasn't allowed to learn my Salagi language, I picked up every language I could pick up. So in my house, it's kind of Lakota, Chiricahua, some Cherokee, whatever we pick up, because my language was taken from me. That's what it is. Hello?
Yeah, I'm still here. I don't know where that came from, some strange voice. Was that in your end?
Hold on a minute, brother.
Yeah, sorry, Charles. Charles has to... take a phone call.
I'm sorry, that was the doctor that was calling for me.
Oh, right.
But that's okay, my wife's got this, I got this interview. The thing about the language part is when we were going to the residential schools, the boarding schools, or whatever, if we accidentally... Because we were told, speak English, English only. If we accidentally spoke, we were taken away from, like, the table that we were eating from or whatever, taken into a building or a real dark hole and put there. And never talk, never speak, only English. And sometimes we were severely beaten for speaking it.
Okay,
it was lost quite a bit. But it's, you know, the Lakota are bringing it back. The Cherokee are bringing their language back. A lot of the nations are bringing the language back and blessings to it.
Absolutely. I think the use. I mean, I've seen the lessons in Cherokee that are available on the internet, on YouTube, and things like that. And that gives everybody, not just Red Nations, but the more sympathetic white folk, to have an opportunity to learn what is an amazing language.
Yes, and, you know, forgive me, but I got a doctor's appointment right now.
Right, okay, well, I'll cover the rest of the show. That's That's well, it's been fantastic having you on, Charles. Very, very, very good to speak to you again. And thank you for
my
the
honor.
Great spirit to bring us together this evening.
I hope to get to do this again.
I do, yes. too. And
blessings to you.
Thank you.
I love you.
I love
Take
you.
Take care.
Too. God bless you.
Take care of your family.
Thank you very much.
Wakanchanka Kichi On. May God bless. And we'll talk again.
And you. Thank you.
Oh.
Bye-bye. So, let me just find that. So that was Charles Two Dog of the, let me just get his name, the Salagi Nation, and talking about some of the issues that have traditionally affected them, and really in effect us, because we're the worse for we're the lesser for hurting the Red Nations, and it's been a little, you know, every time I look at the way that they're treated, and certainly Charles has been speaking about how just like he was saying at the beginning, you know, just an old unarmed inoffensive man was beaten on by the police. There's a terrible disrespect that is being paid to these nations, and I think it would be a great day when this stops. Now, how can we stop it? Well, we have to stop oppression in ourselves. We have to stop looking at others. One of the things that I wanted to talk about this evening, that I was, you know, meditating earlier, and what shall I talk about? In these last few minutes, I'll just have a quick word about this. This is what is about forgiveness. That forgiveness has an amazing power. It has the power to change things. When people are entrenched, oh, so-and-so did it, and the other people say, oh, no, so-and-so did it. and then there are, you know, person A did it, and person A says person B did it, and so forth, and back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth. And there seems to be no respite, so no change, because everybody's stuck. And the big thing that holds that, strangely enough, is that feeling that we call pride. And the opposite, the way to cure pride, is by admitting that you're responsible for everything. You know, pride often feels that it's the cause of all the great things, but it's never the responsibility for the dark things, for the bad things. So, well, a couple of years ago, I discovered that there was this process, and a friend of mine told me the story, and I researched the story a little bit today, so I'd like to share a little bit with you. And the story involves Hawaii, and there was a doctor, his name was Hugh Len, and he worked at the Hawaii State Hospital in the high security ward for the criminally insane. This is back in the 80s, from 1983 to 1987, so it's a period of 4 years. And my friend told me about this, and I was thinking, wow, that's quite amazing. So I did a bit of research. And how did you do it? And the way he did it was by taking full responsibility. Because he was identified with the divine, he realized that the divine is in everybody, is in everything. So by changing, by dealing with issues and problems in his own relationship with the divine, and that included how he experienced other people, particularly the people who are in the wards, he was able to make an enormous change. Okay, so I'll do it really quick. I'll talk about it really quickly. It's possible to look this up. Just type in mental hospital forgiveness or something like that. I forgive you or something. Essentially, he used this technique, and he would go around the wards, and whenever he saw a person who was acting out or doing anything, he would look back to himself and ask for forgiveness. And he would do it like this. He would picture the person, and he would say, "I'm sorry. I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you." And he could keep doing that all day. There's the song. Go for it. Do it with your family. It will work miracles. Honestly, I have no way of expressing how powerful that is. Okay, I'll see you on Sunday at Wolf Spirit Radio, and I'll see you back here next Tuesday at 12 p.m. PST, 3 p.m. EST. Thank you very much. This has been Journeys with JP. Good night.
Revolution Radio.